I want to begin a sermon series this morning, as we promised a couple of weeks ago, that we're calling 6 Foot Baby. And it's really a sermon series about discipleship. It's about growing up. It's about maturing and becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, over the last month, the month of December, we focused on the 2 Foot Baby. We focused on little baby Jesus in the manger. But aren't you glad that he didn't stay 2 Foot Baby Jesus? He became 6 Foot Baby Jesus, or 5 Foot 8 Baby. I mean, grown up man Jesus. I don't know how tall he acted, but he grew, and he didn't just grow. The Bible says that he grew in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. It was a multiple growth that was happening in his life. Not, but in wisdom, in stature, in favor of God, in favor with man. He was growing, he was maturing. Wasn't just growing up in his physical body, but he was becoming more and more like he was already the perfect Son of God, but he was becoming more and more what God had called him to be in his walk on this earth. While we were planning this sermon series, we were talking about it in staff one day, and several of us remembered the words to an old Amy Grant song that I've known. It came out in 1982. It came out when I was in college, and I remember all the words to it, called Fat Baby. How many of you remember that song? The words say something like this: I know a man, and maybe you know him too. You never can tell, he might even be you. He knelt at the altar, and that was the end. He's saved, and that's all that matters to him. His spiritual tummy can't take too much, so one day a week, he gets a spiritual lunch. On Sunday, he puts on his spiritual best and gives his language a spiritual rest. He's just a fat little baby. He wants his bottle, and he don't mean maybe. He sampled solid food just once or twice, but he says doctrine leaves him cold as ice. He's been baptized, sanctified, redeemed by the blood, but his daily devotions, they're stuck in the mud. He knows the books of the Bible, John 3:16. He's got the biggest King James you've ever seen. I always wondered, will he grow up someday? He's mama's boy, and he likes it that way. If you ever see him, tell him I said he'll never grow if he never gets fed. He's just a fat little baby. And the end of that is just a wah, wah, wah. But anyhow, it's kind of a cute song, a fun song. But unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to the song, because there are a lot of immature, 6 foot, fat little babies in the church today. They're overfed, they're under-exercised, big fat babies. They need their bottles, they need their pacifier, they need somebody to pat them on the back. They're making messes that they're expecting other people to clean up after. They're saved, and they're glad they're saved. We're not doubting that, but they're saved and satisfied. They're not saved and growing. They're not saved and saying, God, I want to be more like you. Today, will you help me to be more like you? Instead, it's just, well, Lord, today, give me everything that I want, and really don't ask too much out of me. You know, and I know that just because you come to church every week, sit on a chair, say a prayer, sing a song, it doesn't mean that we're actually growing and maturing and becoming everything that God wants us to be. And there's a lot of folks who are still coming to church with this bless me mentality, with this immature consumer mentality that says, I'm here today to get everything that God has for me. Now, I'm not opposed to getting everything that God has for us. I am opposed to that's the only thing that we think of, is what can God give me, and we never begin to consider what does God want from me. And what can I give him? And what can I do for him? And how can I serve him? We come to church with this consumer mentality, but we need to grow and mature and become a producer, not a consumer. We need to become a steward and a servant and not just a babe in Christ. So over the next several weeks, we're going to look at what it means to grow up. What are the expectations? What does it look like? How can you identify a mature believer, and what do we need to do to become that? And as we're going to see, this problem of immature Christians isn't a new problem. It's not something that just happened in the last 50 years or the last 20 years. No, it's been going on ever since the inception of the church. In fact, there are times when Jesus looked at his own disciples, and he's like, how long have I got to put up with you guys? Remember, I mean, it's been going on for that long. Let's look this morning to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to look at a lot of different scriptures today and over this series, but let's start in Hebrews chapter 5 this morning at verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Man, I'm telling you, that's kind of bites, doesn't it? You know, that's what we're hearing, you know, him say, you're slow to learn, you're slow learners. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. That's the call for all of us, is to move beyond the elementary and to go on to maturity. You know, there's a big difference in growing old and in growing up. Maybe you've seen this cup, I think. They've got an image here of a coffee cup. Maybe they're not going to be able to put it. Anyhow, it says on there, growing old is inevitable. Growing up is optional. Have you ever known some people who, they're growing old, but they haven't managed to grow up yet? You know, they've got a 6-foot body, but they've got a 2-foot mind. They're still, you know, thinking and acting like a baby, not just in normal things, but in the church as well. And I know that there are different rates of growth. Not everybody's going to be 6 foot tall, right? Some people are. My wife is complaining. She went to the doctor the other day, and you know, there was a time when I married her, she was 5 foot tall, maybe 5'1", and then some time ago she found out that she was 4'11", and so she was singing that song, I'm 4'11", but I'm going to heaven, and it makes me feel 10 feet tall. You remember that song? So she was, you know, she was 4'11", that was good. She went to the doctor the other day, she's 4'10½" now, you know. It happens, right? Not everybody's going to be 6 foot tall. Some of us, you know, grow a different. Have you ever seen a kid that you hadn't seen for the last month or whatever? You were on a trip and you come back and it's like, it looks like they've grown 3 feet, and you're like, what in the world happened to you since I saw you last? We grow at different rates, and sometimes when we're growing, you know, there's this awkwardness. You know that awkward teenage state where, you know, we're tripping over our own feet. We've got a body that we haven't figured out how to really grow into yet. And it's a little clumsy, but we finally figure it all out. Well, it's kind of that way in the church as well, that we're not all going to be spiritual giants. We're not all going to be 10 foot tall, but we don't need to be 6 foot babies, and that's the point that we want to be. That is a significant problem, and it was going on in the early church as well. Paul identifies some in the Corinthian church. It was a time when he was writing to the Corinthians, and he called them babes in Christ. And then he was writing to the Ephesians on another occasion, and he said to them, be no more children tossed to and fro. You're not really growing up. You're like children. You're just everything that hits you, you're just being knocked around by life. Don't be like that anymore, he said. It's true. Jesus said, unless we become as little children, we will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus never said, unless you remain as little children. He's not, there's a point where we become little children in our childlike faith and trusting in the Lord. But he doesn't say just stay. He wants us to grow, to mature, to become like him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. But now that I've become a man, I have put away childish things. And here in this letter to the Hebrews, there's always this doctrinal debate about who wrote the book of Hebrews. I kind of fall into the Apostle Paul camp on that one. If you fall differently, that's okay. We can still be friends. But Paul, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, says that he comes to these folks and he's looking to them thinking, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be disciplers. You ought to be those who are helping others. You ought to be those who've grown up and matured and advanced in your walk with the Lord. You've heard enough sermons. You've heard enough lessons. You've had enough example given to you. You've been helped out for long enough. You ought to be ready to help others. And he said, instead, I'm finding that you're still drinking from the bottle. You're not ready for solid food yet. You're still on the bottle. A couple of weeks ago, my youngest daughter, it was the 19th. It was a Saturday. We were having a little family Christmas get together before Christmas, since Carol and I were going to be out of town on Christmas Day itself. So our family had gathered together on that Saturday, the 19th. And she and her husband got a phone call. And the phone call says, this is really important. We need you to call us back as soon as you can. And they looked at each other and they're like, we know what this might mean. And it was what they thought. They were getting a phone call to get ready to receive, if they would be willing to, another foster child into their home. Many of you know that we adopted a foster child. He's our little grandson, and little two-year-old now. Well, his half-sister was about to be removed from the home, and they were looking for someone, a family and a blood relative like little Eli, to have his little sister with him as a possible connection. And so with great joy, we had a little Christmas miracle that came into our home, and she's the cutest little redhead. I don't know if she's going to be fiery with that redhead or not. She seems to be. But here's the deal. The reason she was being taken, and this is the term that they used, they called it failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. She's 6 months old, but she's wearing a size 3 months clothes. She's 12 pounds. When my daughter took her to the doctor for a checkup and to get her vaccinations, the doctor said she's actually too small to get vaccinations yet. We're going to have to hold on. Failure to thrive. So we're eagerly anticipating putting some pounds on the little one and watching her grow up and mature and become everything that God has intended for her to be. And of course, we're hoping that she's going to be a part of our family forever, like little Eli is as well. But I bring that story to you today because of that term, failure to thrive. That she's smaller than she ought to be. She's not growing like she ought to be growing yet. And I think that term can be applied to a lot of Christians, that they're guilty of failure to thrive. That they're alive. You know, they got a cute smile. You know, they can still poop in their diaper, but they're just not really thriving. They're not becoming everything that God intends for them to be. Still needing to rely on others to spoon feed them. You know, every once in a while you hear some people complain about how that they left a church, and one of the reasons why they'll say they left the church is, I just wasn't getting fed there. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Have you ever, never mind, I'm not going to ask you if you've been guilty of saying that. Let me just say something. You know, the meat gets brought out, the food gets brought out, but whether or not you choose to pick up the spoon and eat, sometimes there's some responsibility that lies on us, right? It's our responsibility. And if you're thinking that all of the growth that you need is going to happen in one meal on one day a week, You come to church on one Sunday, one day a week, and you get a 30-minute meal, and that's supposed to be enough to grow you up and become all that you're supposed to be. If you think that that's the feeding that you need, I'm telling you, you're going to be guilty of failure to thrive. You're going to be a six-foot baby. There's a growing up. There's a responsibility that we got to take on ourselves. We can't be throwing temper tantrums like a three-year-old every time something doesn't go our way. And, well, they didn't sing the songs that I like today, or whatever the case might be. He didn't shake my hand, or they said something. I don't know what they were talking, and I'm walking in the room, and now you're all offended because they got quiet, and you're thinking they must have been talking about me. We see all that stuff going on, and we're like, why are we so mature? Now listen, immature. Now listen, understand, nobody feels bad when we see a baby acting like a baby, right? I mean, when we see, when I'm holding that little youngin' yesterday, when she spit up on me, and she did, I didn't get all mad about that. I it's kind of like, well, you know, that happens. It comes with the territory. It's part of the process. What do? You just grab the little burp rag or whatever you got. You clean up the best you can, and you just keep on going, right? That's normal. You see that. And when we see someone who is truly a babe in Christ because they've just recently been born again, they've not really had a chance to grow up yet. And when we see them doing things that Christians really ought not to be doing, we go, okay, you know, I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to judge you for that. Okay, you use some language that you shouldn't have used. We'll talk about that. But I'm not condemning you. I'm not suggesting that you're not a Christian because you made a mistake. No, we do like any parent ought to do. We encourage them, we teach them, we train them, we walk with them and just encourage them to grow in the Lord. Now, if you see a 30-year-old man walking down Peoria Avenue with a diaper on and his thumb in his mouth, you're going to say, there's something wrong there. And when we see somebody in the church who ought to be growing up, they ought to be mature, they ought to have come beyond the pacifier and the diaper stage, they ought to be growing up, and they're not. They're still doing all the same stuff that an immature Christian does, then we know that there's something wrong. The problem is spiritual immaturity, and the result of spiritual immaturity is problems. So the problem is spiritual immaturity, and the result of spiritual immaturity is problems. Problems in our personal life. Where we're continuing to do the same old sinful behavior, tripping up over the same stumbling blocks, still caught up in the same old habits and things that we used to do, but we're still doing them. And you know, it's amazing that sometimes we see people who've been in the church for quite a while, and they're continuing to do things that we're looking at going, you should be still doing that. You should have moved beyond that by now. You ought to be growing up. You shouldn't need that pacifier in your mouth anymore. You ought to be well beyond that at this stage in our life. And sometimes we hear people, they excuse that behavior. And say, well, if you just knew what all the other stuff that I'm dealing with in my life is, you wouldn't be so upset because you still see this problem. Well, okay, but not okay. No. By now, you should be growing in all of these areas in our life. I mean, we ought to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We ought to be able to work on several things in our life and not just go, well, you know, hey, at least I'm not, you know, committing adultery anymore. At least I hadn't murdered anybody lately. So, you know, give me a break. No, it's time to grow up. Amen. Amen. The problems are not just in our individual, but the problems, they roll out into the rest of the relationships that we have in our homes, in our marriages, with our kids, relationships with other people. You see folks who are spiritually mature, they're still dealing with unforgiveness in their life. They're still dealing with offense and getting offended at everything that happens. They just can't seem to get along with other people. What's going on? There's a spiritual immaturity there. They're not growing in the love of Christ like they ought to be growing in. Problems in churches, you know, that happen when there's spiritual immaturity and everybody's coming to church saying, hey, I came to get, I came to get, I came to get. And we're going, yeah, but we need somebody to give. We need somebody to help. We need somebody to serve. We need somebody to grow up and to be doing some of the things that need to be done. And so, again, we need to be working and serving in the kingdom of God. Listen, God intends for us to be overcomers. He intends for us to be victors. He's looking for the fruit in our lives of maturity. He's looking for the fruit of maturity. You know, there was a story where Jesus comes along and he's hungry and he sees a fig tree and he goes up to that fig tree and he's wanting something off of that fig tree and there's no fruit to be found there. And Jesus curses the fig tree. They come back the next day and the disciples look and the fig tree has withered up and died and they're amazed at that because they remembered what Jesus had said. Jesus was looking for growth. He was looking for fruit. He was looking for something that would feed him instead of him just feeding. Not just something that's pulling nutrients out of the ground. He's looking for something that's giving something back. He tells a parable of the man who has the vineyard and he's got trees that aren't producing. And he's trying to decide what he needs to do. And so there's this conversation about it. And finally the decision is made, let's give it one more year. Let's give it one more year. Let's dig around it. Let's fertilize it. Let's give it every opportunity that it can. We're going to give it another year. But if it doesn't produce in the next year, then we're going to cut it down because it's just taking up space. It's hindering everything else. It's pulling nutrients away from all the other trees in the garden, and it's not producing anything back. There's this constant picture that we find in the Bible where the Lord is saying to us, I want you to grow up. I want you to produce. And then he tells us how we can do it. And he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And if you abide in me and I in you, then you're going to produce much fruit. But if we're not connected to the vine, if we're not joined in to the vine, then we're not going to be producing the fruit that God is looking for in our lives. God's expectation of us, His desire for us, is that we would experience spiritual growth. Not remain little babies. Not be 6-foot babies. Next week, we're going to pick up with this message and we're not going to talk just about what God's desiring out of our life, but the design that God has for us to grow. How can we grow up? And the Bible gives us a lot of answers to that question.